We're turning our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, 47 to 50. You can stand as we read that tonight. That'd be good. One of the things I like about Jesus' teaching is that he uses a lot of parables and stories. So we're going to preach from a very popular one tonight. Verse 47. Matthew chapter 13 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Everyone knows that one. Now, let's pray once more together. Jesus, we thank you again for your spirit that's here. And I pray that you would continue to work and move and have your way through your word tonight. I pray, anoint our ears to hear. God, in my mouth to say, God, what needs to be done, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Or you can stand. So that was a parable. Have you heard that one before? Heard that one preached from before? I haven't, so we're gonna do it. It's not a long one. In Matthew 13, if you read through the chapter, Jesus really goes through several parables. I think it's like seven. We said before that the book of Matthew is broken up into sections of teaching and then narrative or stories. And so this part, there's lots of teaching. And I don't know if he told all these stories in a row or how it worked, but in Matthew chapter 13, he talks about the parable of the sower, which is one of the more popular ones that we know and love, and the seed sown in four different soils, and how we need to have our heart prepared to receive the word so that it can take root and grow in our lives. And then there's a parable about the weeds. That's not as well known or loved, but there's a guy who plants a crop and the enemy comes and plants weeds among the crop, and instead of pulling up all the weeds and damaging the crop, the farmer lets the weeds grow with the crop. And then when it's harvest time, they pull everything up and separate the weeds and burn them and keep the wheat. And then there's a parable of Jesus talks about a mustard seed being so small but growing into a huge tree. He talks about leaven and how it goes all through the flour. I don't know if you ever noticed that. When you make bread, the whole thing rises. Not just one side. That would be pretty cool if you could figure out how to do that. But the leaven goes through the whole thing, and the kingdom of God goes through everything. And it talks about the kingdom being like a treasure, and also about the pearl of great price. And they're both those were both very short parables, but they're well loved and preached. And then we come to today's parable, the parable of the net. It's everyone's favorite one. And he's taught them all these parables and all these stories, and he's, all of them are about like the kingdom of God. The first one's about the word, but the rest are all about the kingdom of God and how he's trying to explain to them what this kingdom is like. And to make sure that they get it, I believe, as he saves this one for last, because you know he's got several fishermen in his crew, and so he uses a parable that they would really understand and really get. So he uses one about fishing, just to kind of tie it all together, make sure they know. And so we're gonna kind of look at this bit by bit and break it down, if you'll allow me for a little bit. Matthew 13, again, 47, it says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind." So the net referred to here is a dragnet. The word net is translated from the word segane, which is a dragnet. And it was a much larger net than the usual net that you would just cast as one person. If you could put the title one up there, that would be. I told you before, this is a picture I took in Benin. They're actually fishing here. I don't know if you can tell, but that's the boat they would take. What they would do It's an old type of fishing, but they would take that sketchy boat there out into the sea, and then a guy dives off and brings the rope back to shore. And then everyone gets together and starts pulling in. So all those people in line, they're pulling a net. It's kind of hard to see, but that's how they fished there, and that's how they fished in the Bible times, which is, I saw like a video of the guy like way out on the ocean, just dives in, and I was like, that's not a job I would like to do. And I have a theory that Peter was one of those guys that did that, because there's a couple stories where he's not fully dressed on the boat, and the guy I saw do it was not. So I'm thinking maybe that's what Peter did. I don't really know, but he seemed to be that kind of guy that just liked to live on the wild side. But that's how they would fish, and it's pretty cool to me that people are still doing that type of fishing. And we got to see it. Somebody got mad at me when I took these pictures and tried to make me give them money unless I deleted them. So I deleted them and then restored them after. But he wasn't even part of them. He just wanted money. So this is, when Jesus is telling this story, it's something that most of his disciples would have been very familiar with. If they weren't fishermen, they came from fishing towns and areas where people fished, and they would have seen people pulling nets in like this and working on their nets on the beach, and they would have been familiar with this. And so far Jesus has been comparing the kingdom of heaven with several different things, and he ends with this, and he says the kingdom of heaven is like a net. And so this type of net would be dropped out into the sea again, and either pulled ashore by the fishermen, or pulled, sometimes they would use a boat to bring it back. But what does a net do? A net catches things. Oh, just blew your minds there. A net catches things. A net takes things in. So he says the kingdom of heaven is like a net. It takes people in. And anyone is welcome into the kingdom, into the church. All sorts, the Bible says, all sorts come in. And Paul describes the church like this in Galatians 3 and 28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all one. Ye are all one in Christ. That doesn't mean that there were no Jews or there were no Greeks in the church or whatever. It means that even though there were some of each, when we're in the church, we are the church, we're equal. So there's all kinds in the church, and it lets us know that the church is supposed to be made up of different people that are not the same. You're different than me. I'm different than everyone. Different strokes for different folks. I don't know. And like a net cuts through the water, the kingdom of heaven goes right through the world and grows. And it says that was cast. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast. And a net, I'm just going to share all kinds of mind-blowing revelations tonight, so just hold on to your seat. A net does not do much good in a boat. If you're going fishing and you leave the net in the boat, you're probably not going to catch any fish. The net doesn't do much good on the shore. They go out with their little, well, their big canoe, and the guy dives off and swims back. That was fun, but there's nothing that's going to happen. They're not going to catch anything. A net really only does what it is designed to do if it's cast. A net's purpose is to be cast. If the kingdom of heaven is like a net, then that net needs to be cast. So how is it cast? When we share the gospel, when we share our testimony with others, when we preach the word, when we tell people about the goodness of God. And there's no point in us holding the net close to ourselves. There's no point in having a net and not casting it. That defeats the purpose of the net. And one of the parables before this, Jesus talks about the word going forth like a seed from a sower. And like in that parable, the seed does no good if it just stays in the hand of a sower. It needs to be cast. It needs to be thrown into the dirt. It needs to be buried, right? There's no point in holding the truth and not sharing it. There's no point in having a fishing net and not casting it. Luke 8 and 16, Jesus said, no man, when he had lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. He said, don't light a candle and cover it. Yeah, there's, Jesus uses this type of example over and over. He uses the example of one thing and it being used for its intended purpose. You don't light a candle and then cover it. You don't have a net and don't cast it. You don't have seed and keep it in your hand. You know, the seeds are meant to be buried and planted. The candle is designed to be lit and show light. The net is designed to be cast. And also, where you cast the net matters. It says the net was cast into the sea. Now, again, it's gonna blow your minds, but you can throw a fishing net in the woods if you want, but you ain't gonna catch a fish. You can throw it in the air if you want, or you're gonna get a mess and probably get tangled up yourself. A fishing net, again, is designed to be thrown into the water. It's made specifically to work in the water. It's got weights on it. It's got things that keep it up. And it's designed specifically to work in the water. And the kingdom of God, the word of God, is designed to work in the hearts of men. Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. He said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." So God said he was going to do something new in the hearts of people, and that's where the net needs to be cast. If a net is designed to catch a fish, it needs to be cast where the fish is, are, where the fish are. If the kingdom of heaven is designed to bring people to Jesus, then the net needs to be cast where the people are. The word needs to be cast toward the hearts of men. Preach to them, witness to them, share the word with them. Why? Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is designed to go straight through to the heart, and that's what it's supposed to do. It divides, it pierces, but it only does that when it's shared, when it's brought forth. You can live your whole life with a Bible on the shelf, but if you never open it, never read it, never let it do what it's intended to do, it won't. It's not going to magically speak to you unless you open it up and read it. Again, mind-blowing stuff. And what happens when the net is cast into the sea? The net gathers, it says. And the net does the very thing it's intended to do. Wild. As the net is cast into the sea, the net will gather fish. And if the word is spread to others, the word will gather people. If the kingdom is shared with others, the kingdom will draw people. Isaiah 55 and 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." The word of God will not return void. If we share the word, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. If we are going to invite people into the kingdom, people will come. But they aren't coming if no one's casting a net. The net will gather, the word will produce, the kingdom will grow if it's used the way that it's intended to be used. And the problem often is people like to use the word to try to build their own kingdom. So we try to make the church our own, or we try to pick and choose who comes and who is involved and who God uses, or we'll try to use the word to make ourselves look better than others, or we'll try to keep control of everything and use it improperly, and it doesn't work that way. The thing is, when the net is cast properly, you can't pick and you can't choose what comes in the net. It says, "Of every kind." We're just going word by word here. "Of every kind." And this is where it gets tricky. Because you just cast a big old fishing net into the sea, you're going to pick up things that you may not have necessarily intended on picking up. Is this true, Jeff? One of the good things about churches is they're made up of people. And one of the problems with churches is they're made up of people. The net catches any fish they want. and the fish they don't want. The net brings in garbage and good fish. And some people will turn their back on church because they're hypocrites, and I know we don't want to hear it, but there are. With the kingdom being open and available for everyone, anyone can come. And this is something we don't like to talk about a lot or address it a lot, but there are folks who come to church for the wrong reasons. There are sometimes abusers who hide in churches. There are wicked people who hide in churches. There are pedophiles and perverts and liars and gossips and manipulators and adulterers and all kinds of stuff. And sometimes they're even leaders. And sometimes they destroy churches, and sometimes they destroy other people, because when the net goes forth, it gathers all kinds, and that's both positive and negative. And I know that's not something you wanted to hear, but that's how it works. We want all kinds of different people, obviously. We want different cultures and backgrounds and ages and all that. But every kind in this parable is referring to the good and the bad, if you read the rest of it. The invitation is open to anyone who wants to come. And Jesus can deliver and change anyone, but some don't want to. Some just pretend to change, and some fake it, and some take advantage. And none of you guys. Obviously. John 7 and 37 says, in the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. A lot of people will come, but not everyone will drink. Not everyone will go all the way. Not everyone will commit. We see this in another parable in Matthew 13, the one with the farmer and the wheat and the weeds. The farmer plants the wheat, and his enemy comes and plants weeds among the wheat. And instead of pulling up the weeds and possibly damaging some of the wheat, he lets the weeds stay and grow among the wheat. And another passage, another parable kind of thing, Jesus talks about separating the sheep and the goats. And there's this ongoing theme throughout this, that in the middle of the faithful, there can be unfaithful. In the middle of the righteous, there can be wicked, and for whatever reason, they remain there until a certain time. And maybe that's to give them time to repent. Maybe it's to strengthen the faithful. It doesn't really say. But even in Jesus' 12 hand-picked disciples, there was a Judas. But there will come a time, the Bible says, when it was full. The net was full. Time was fully come. The net constantly gets closer and closer to the shore, because again, that's what the net is designed to do. If you just drop a net, you're not going to catch fish. You got to bring the net in. The net is designed to be dragged through the water and brought to the shore. You haven't really caught the fish until you take it to the water. It's fine. Right? Oh, look at that beautiful bass I caught. It's over there. You see it? Look at that right there in the water. Whew, that's the big one. I caught that. No, you didn't. That's crazy talk, right? The fish isn't caught until you bring it in. And eventually, the net, in this parable, eventually the net will be full. Because that's when it caught. Eventually the time will come, and eventually we will run out of the sea, because the net is constantly being pulled toward the shore. The net is being brought to the shore, and time is running out, and we're closer today to the coming of Jesus than we've ever been. That's how time works. Constantly time goes forward, just like the net is being dragged toward the shore, and we are running out of time to get others in. The net is almost full, and it's not going to go on forever. There has to be an end, it says, and they drew it to the shore. And the net eventually comes to the shore, and it comes to an end, and the whole fishing expedition, the net part is done. And to keep with a parallel, the trumpet's been blown, the dead in Christ has risen first. There will come a time when the net will reach the shore. There will come a time when we can no longer get into the net because it's too late. And there will come a time when we can no longer repent and get ourselves right with God. And the thing is, the fish don't know when that time is. They don't know. They're at the mercy of the net. The net could be pulled faster or slower, or they have no idea when it's going to, when they're going to arrive at the shore. We don't know when he's coming back, and we don't know when this whole thing will end, but we do know that it will. We do know that there will be a time of judgment. It says they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So this is where the division is. The good fish are saved and the bad fish are thrown away. And right now there may be good and bad in the nets, but there's coming a day when there will be a division. And if you're right, that should bring a sense of relief. But if you're not, you should be terrified, because you can only hide in the net for so long. You can only hide in the church for so long. Eventually, there comes a time when there's a separation. We got some music. Save me here. Matthew 13:49-50 says, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. In case you didn't know, like, I'm not making this up, this is the rest of the parable. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so Jesus says, just to make sure that we get it and know what he's talking about. So this is what happens at the end. The wicked are cut off from the just. There is a separation. The evil is separated from the righteous. And right now, they can be mixed together. Which is a sobering thought. Right now, we're all in the net. And just because you're in the net doesn't necessarily mean that you're righteous. Just because we come to church doesn't necessarily mean that we've been saved. We need to make sure that we're right with God, because if we're not, he says there's a fiery furnace and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's a place of torment waiting if we aren't right with God. And so if I was here today, which I am, I wouldn't want to leave until I knew I was right, because the shoreline is getting closer and closer, and every passing hour is 1 hour closer to the return of Jesus. And we need to be ready. John 3 says we need to be born of water and the Spirit, and we need to be baptized and filled with his Spirit. We need to turn from sin, and we need to continue walking with him. It's not enough just to come to church and say, I'm part of the kingdom, or I'm in the net. It's not enough just to do that. It's not enough just to say things. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are people that did things. These are people that prophesied. These are people that you cast out devils. These are people that prayed for others, and they were healed, and they did all these things. And he said, I don't even know you. You work in iniquity. These are people that thought they had it all together. They were thought they were right. And just don't want us to fool ourselves into thinking we're saved because we did something once upon a time. Maybe we let other things sneak in and we drifted away. I don't want to just try to scare everyone into heaven either. And John, 1 John, John talks about people who think and say that they walk in the light and they follow Jesus, but he says, in fact, they're liars because they actually walk in darkness. And this is the same kind of thing. The Bible has many instances of this. People thinking that they're saved or doing the right thing or thinking they're ready, but they're not. And we can think just because we've been used by God, but I make a joke, he used a donkey once, and I don't think there's going to be a bunch of donkeys in heaven. Just because, you know, we come to church, or just because we prayed one time, or we hung around church folks, it's not enough. It's not enough just to be in the net. It's not enough just to come to church. We need to go further with him. And we need to make sure that we're ready. We need to make sure that we're saved. And And again, hear this. God has been repeating this in the last little while. Seems to be a theme. Got a couple of themes going on lately. This seems to be one of them. But we need to be ready because Jesus is coming. It's closer than it's ever been. I heard that my whole life growing up. So we kind of just joked about it. Because it hasn't happened yet. But now we're closer than we've ever been before. There's things going on that has never happened before. And if you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, you can receive it today. If you haven't repented yet, you can repent today. If you haven't been baptized, we can fill the water or the tank up. Get baptized today. It's not too late yet. But eventually that net's going to come to the shore. Eventually time will run out. You don't want to be one that's left behind. And people say things like it's too late for me, but yet 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There's still time. Today is the day. The shoreline is getting closer. I wouldn't want to leave service today without being ready. I don't know when he's coming. I don't know if it's tomorrow, if it's 15 years from now, or 100 years from now. I don't really know. But all I know is that I need to be ready. So again, we're going to give you some time tonight. If you could stand, we're going to find a place to pray. And just make sure, if there's something we need to do, if we need to repent, if we need to get right with God, let's do that tonight. I know I told a lot of jokes. Made fun of fishing a little bit. But that net's getting closer. And there's going to be good fish and bad fish. And we're not going to know until we get to the shores. Maybe we can know now. We can make sure that we're right. We're not there yet, so let's get right with him tonight. We're going to, my wife say, maybe. Let's just find a place and pray tonight. I hope.